Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Thank you so much for the privilege of being with you tonight. And we do count it an incredible privilege to be able to share with you this evening. The Lord is my shepherd. I feel this is an overflow of the expression of love that the Lord showed this morning, bringing on of elders, and he wants to just take us on into this incredible psalm. So let's read it together, the whole psalm, whatever version you've got there. But let's just meditate on his word. I'll read it from the ESV. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, just remind you, the psalm is structured to also give us the picture of a walled city. And the walls of the city is the Lord, the shepherd, and the Lord who is my dwelling place. The benefits of the city are within its walls. So we need to dwell inside of the Lord being our shepherd and the Lord being our dwelling place. And within those walls, there might be all kinds of ragings and the presence of enemies. But within those walls, the one whose shepherd is the Lord, Yahweh, distinguished from all the other people on the earth, that person will find his soul restored, will find the quietness of waters and the nourishment of the green pastures. And so that is just a repetition of something I said this morning. And I want to expand on it a little bit by saying, I believe in South Africa, God is looking for his people to be distinguished from all the others because the Lord is our shepherd. In the verses we're going to look at tonight, it says, I will fear no evil. In other words, God wants us to be so distinguished because people are riddled with fear. But those who have the Lord as their shepherd, he wants us to be in a place where literally with honesty we can say, I fear no evil. Now that might seem like insurmountable. But I believe this psalm is a call by David writing and obviously by the Holy Spirit for God's people to be in such an awareness of the Lord as the shepherd that we do not fear evil. That's where he wants his people to be. He wants us to be so distinguished from that. There's another scripture that says, do not fear what they fear. So, in a sense, there needs to be a people that live in South Africa that are going through all the same circumstances but are distinguished because they do not fear. So that people will come, as Peter wrote and said, they will ask you, why do you have this hope? Are you so stupid that you don't see the trouble that we're in? And you say, no, I see it. I'm living here with you. I am in amongst us. But I have a shepherd, Yahweh, and I live within the city that is surrounded by his presence. And so I do not fear evil. Now, that raises all kinds of theological questions and questions of, Alan, but are you saying that the Christian is exempt from trouble? So that's exactly what we're going to look at tonight a little bit. So we're going to look firstly In this passage in verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, preceding that are the following words. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Now, that word, paths of righteousness, is just as accurately translated as right paths. It's not just about morality. He leads me so that I'm morally righteous. He's talking about the right paths. And then straight after that, it says he leads me through the valley of the shadow. Now, I think it would actually suit us a lot better if they swapped those two verses around. They said, here I am, I'm in the valley of the shadow, and the shepherd comes and says, what on earth are you doing here? Let me lead you to the right path where there's goodness and mercy. But it's not that way around. It would be better if it was that for all of us. That when we hit trouble, we realize, oh, this must be wrong. Because, I mean, surely God's little sheep can't have all this trouble, this valley of shadow. And so I must be on the wrong path. And then the shepherd comes and says, ah, there you are, quickly. Let me get you out of trouble and on the right path of goodness and mercy and cup overflowing, all that good stuff. But actually, though, he leads me in the right path. And the next verse, boom, valley of the shadow of death. And we need to contemplate this, because as part of getting to the place I will fear no evil is to have a theology that says the right path very often goes straight through the valley of the shadow. Because otherwise, if that's not in our theology, we get to the place of the shadow and we're panicking now, because this doesn't fit my theology. Something is desperately wrong here. I must have sinned terribly to have ended up here. Or maybe all the stuff Brad taught us and the elders taught us was wrong. And so we get into a place of panicking because this doesn't fit our theology. So we need to realize that though David is saying everything's under control. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in the right path. And boom, there's the valley of the shadow. But there's that beautiful word that we're so grateful for, that the word through. The word through. Hallelujah for that. It is there, and that's our guarantee. We will get through by the shepherd, but we are not exempt from the valley of the shadow. So let us examine the valley of the shadow. I'm sorry to be focusing on such a negative sounding topic, the shadow of death. But it is good for us. It's good for us because we want to get to the place where we can grow and our faith to a place where we can say more and more, I'm beginning to reach that place, and I'm not there by any means, where we can say, I fear no evil. Maybe you are there, but let that strengthen you tonight. So let's look at that term, the shadow of death. Many of the printed English Bibles have a footnote next to, or an indication of a footnote next to the term shadow of death, indicating there's an alternate translation. And some translations have preferred the alternative translation, which he leads me through the valley of deepest darkness. So they're juggling with the English, the best English interpretation of the Hebrew term, which was a term that was tied to that day. And so they're struggling to find the exact meaning of it. But in any case, they're very closely related. But if you go and have a look where else it was used around in the scripture, it's very often used with the term darkness or deepest darkness. It's mostly used to intensify the meaning of darkness. So when you use this expression of darkness that's used at this in this verse, it's actually saying the highest degree of darkness that you can actually fathom. So it's not just the scripture for funerals. When he leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. So we read Psalm 23 there. But it is actually for life. It's something David had experienced. It's not just when somebody dies, but it is actually a place that we go through, an experience we can go through, even if we're on the right path. We can get to a place where the darkness is so deep that we're struggling to find the right words to describe it. And so you have these kind of things. The darkness was so dark, I could touch it. You know, that's the kind of feeling this creates for us. That we can find, even as those that are being led by the shepherd, we can find ourselves in a place where it feels like the darkness is almost like syrup. It's so thick. And it is in a place where the darkness is so intense, that's what this word carries, that you cannot see how close evil is because it's so dark. They could be right here. This is what David is trying to bring across. These are the kind of things he'd experienced. Because when you have a look at the kind of geographical location where David used to have to flee from Saul and from his enemies, that they pointed out some of these valleys, literal valleys, where you would go through that were absolutely ideal to be ambushed in. And so David would have to go through valleys that would be so dark that it would block out the sun. And you have this anticipation that at any moment, evil could spring on you. So this is the kind of meaning that David was bringing across when he wrote these words. He says, even though I go through that place where I can't see, it's so thick, I don't know where God is. That's actually what we're getting to. I don't know where he is. I can't see him. And it's so dark, it feels like the presence of evil is right here. He says, even there, I will fear no evil. So I'm hoping to bring that across, this awareness. David was at numerous times so close to being caught by his enemies. They were so close. So when he talks about this going through the valley of the shadow, he was talking from a reality of his own experience where the enemy had been that close, right in the cave with him. That's how close. Keep quiet. Everybody, soldiers are hiding in the cave and the enemy was that close. Just don't make a sound. He's that close. Maybe you've experienced that in your life. But this is the place where the psalm comes alive. It's not a psalm for the good times, really, although it works everywhere. But actually, this is a psalm designed to bring courage in those times, though I'm in that place. And the point of David's message is we have to realize we must address the false doctrine. That if I obey Jesus, if I doing everything that's right, from going through all the things that he's told me to do, that I will be exempt from the valley of deepest darkness. No, you won't be. There's no guarantee. We need to remember that. And it's one of the key things. It's demonstrated in the life of Christ. As the Father said over his Son, I'm so pleased with you. I delight. This is my Son. He just declared it. He couldn't hold back from heaven. This is my Son in whom I delight, with whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus immediately, led by the Spirit, tempted directly by Satan. I mean, I don't know if I've ever been tempted directly by Satan, maybe indirectly, but I can imagine the intensity of that. So he has the Son that's pleased God, tempted the valley of the shadow of death right there. So we need to realize that. So what do we have to learn then, having emphasized this valley's darkness? What do we have to learn from it? There's a couple of things. How can we then fear no evil, even in that place where it's so dark? We can't see the enemy. We don't know what they're up to. They can pounce on us at any time. We can't even see the shepherd. That's how dark it is. What do we have then to help us? How could David say, I'll fear no evil in that place? It must be that he'd learnt something about the shepherd. And this is key for me. Because the confidence to say, I fear no evil, is deeply rooted in my understanding of who the shepherd is. That's where it's rooted. It's rooted in my knowledge of the shepherd. And fear is, in a sense, and I want to say this carefully because it might sound a bit blunt, but fear is an indication, to a degree, of my lack of knowledge of the shepherd. If I knew him, really, I wouldn't fear. I mean, that really is, if I knew him, it's because I don't really know him that we fear. So David had got to the place where he knew the shepherd, therefore he said, I do not fear, because he knew the shepherd. And so it's a great drawing to know him. to know Christ. I want to know Him, Paul said. So, the very first lesson of the valley is learning to trust that the shepherd is with me. Even when I can't see Him, to trust that He's with me. And I mean, honestly, we need to grow in this. No matter, it's such simple truths. I mean, we know this. Jesus is with me. We tell our kids that we, you know, He's, don't be scared, Jesus. But deep in our hearts, do we trust He's with me? Do we trust that to the point where I can say, I fear no evil? And so, in that dark valley, it's very hard sometimes to see the shepherd. So imagine this little sheep going through the valley, and it's so dark, he can't see the shepherd. Why does that sheep carry on and not panic? Not go running around like a mad sheep inside the valley? Why not? Why is the sheep just going along through this valley? Why is it? Because he knows the shepherd's here. He can't see him, but he knows it. Not by sight. He knows. There's a level of faith that says, I know he's here. And this needs to be the distinguishing mark of believers as we walk through South Africa. Why do we not fear? Not because there's not trouble, but because we know. We know he's with me. And that alone brings my heart to a place of rest. The shepherd is near. And he knows how to get us through this valley. Because he's walked this valley before. The writer of Hebrews says, he was tempted in every way as we are. He's walked this valley. He's walked this road. So I can trust him. I know to the uttermost I can trust him. Fear then is not a symptom of our times. These are fearful times. For the believer, it's not a symptom of the time. We need to realize it's a symptom of unbelief in the shepherd's ability to care for us. We have to understand that. And I say that nervously because there's stuff that we've been through, and I'm sure you also, that felt to us like just, oh Lord, you should have stopped this from happening. Why didn't you? But looking back, I realize he's with us. And that doesn't mean he's going to spare us from the trouble, but his presence will be sufficient for us and he will get us through. And so, I believe fear is something we must not take as something we can just glibly accept as part of our times. We live in fearful times. Actually, we need to repent of it. And I want to say that gently because I realize sometimes we suffer hard things and we're afraid. But we need to repent of it. We say, for me to fear is actually a wicked, unbelieving heart, to be blunt. It's an unbelieving heart. To say, do I not trust the shepherd? So we need that to challenge us, firstly. The first lesson of the valley is to trust the shepherd, even if I can't see him, even if I can't experience him. I think even right now, as I'm speaking, in my own heart, I know there's the sense of repentance, even now as I'm speaking. Maybe there where you are. Just repentance. Oh God, I've given fear license in my life. I've given it license. I've kind of looked at the newspaper and said, yeah, I give myself license to be afraid. I mean, look what's happening in Africa. Look what's happening in the world. Look what's happening in our neighbors. And we give ourselves a license. Like your car's got the license, it's legal, it can go on the road. We give fear license to ride around our hearts and life. We give it license. But actually, the Lord says, stop. No. Tear up the license. Repent and say, I trust the shepherd. And maybe I'm going to get hammered and go through hard times and my soul's going to need to be restored. But I will fear no evil, for you'll get me through. The second lesson of the valley is to be aware of the shepherd's implements. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I struggle in my mind to understand the link between comfort and two wooden rods. I mean, If I had written Psalm 23, I would have said, your gentle voice and your soft hand stroking my back comforts me. I mean, that literally would kind of be more, make more logic to me. But David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I say, hang on. I mean, what's going on here? However, we need to have a look at these two things. They're very significant for us. They are pictures we've taught our kids, but let's let them teach us again tonight. Simple as they are, just have a brief look at them. These are the comfort instruments for the valley, the rod and the staff. So just have a look at them, and let's just rekindle what they mean in our lives. Now, the staff, the one we get in the paintings, you know, those old paintings of Psalm 23, you know. But it was a staff. Sometimes it had a crook on the end. But it was something the shepherd used constantly. It was in his hand all the time. And it was working the whole time with the flock as they would go through. So it would be able to be used to prod, to get you back on the path from this side. It would be able to use to draw you back, you're going too far ahead. It would be able to prod you on, you're going too slow. But it was forever at working. So the sheep would grow accustomed to that. As they were going along, okay, whoa. And so there was this awareness, this constant activity that was working in on the sheep to guide, to take them through. So you can imagine now in the valley, here's the sheep going, can't see the shepherd, it's dark, but oh yeah. And he's comforted. There's a comfort that comes. That comes. Even though we cannot see yet, we have the awareness that he's working in our lives. He's working, he's prodding, he's, and we are comforted. Sometimes we don't know his presence, we don't feel his presence, but yet we sense the rod, the staff comforting us. Now, the rod, on the other hand, and I'm relying on the historians for my accuracy of this, but they say that it is a familiar instrument in South Africa, still, known as the knopkiri. It was a short club with a broader head. Sometimes they'd cover the head with metal to make it heavier, and they'd carry it in the belt. And it was the shepherd's defense weapon against wild animals or enemies. So he'd carry it here, so he'd have his staff here, and he'd have the rod there. It was not an implement you'd use on the sheep. They didn't walk around and bash the sheep with a knopkiri. He'd prod them, and there was the sense of that. But this was, and there's a lovely picture that you can see, is that a wild animal coming to attack the flock. The intimidating thing for that animal, he might come roaring out. Let's say it was a lion or something coming to get the sheep. And I mean, David had experience of that. But what he would do, pull out the club. And the shepherd would stand over the sheep. Maybe the sheep were in front of him. And he'd raise the club. And there's this picture. And the sheep was comforted by the rod. Because it carried the great sense of the authority of the shepherd over his flock. And in that sheep's mind, there's the lion in front of me, but the shepherd is over me with his rod. So we need to have that, you know. And isn't it interesting how the Great Commission, Jesus says to his disciples, says to us, go into all the world. Go into the valley of the shadow of death. That's where we live. We live there. And then he says, but all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. The rod is the symbol of authority in the scripture. And so as he sends us as his church out into this world, he stands over us with the rod of the shepherd over us. And he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Why? Because he's got the rod of authority over him. Psalm 2 verse 9 says, you shall break them with a rod of iron, and you will dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. So this is the rod of authority of the shepherd over his flock. So that's where the Great Commission makes so much sense. It's the shepherd, gentle shepherd, pulls the rod of authority over his church and says, go into all the world, and I'm with you always. You see, it's Psalm 23 in the New Testament. Great Commission. It is. There I am. I'm with you always, and my authority is over you. That's why we go, and we might be persecuted. We might face death at every turn, but we will get through this valley. We will finish our course, staying close to the shepherd, because his authority will be over us, not to spare us from the valley, but to make sure we finish our course and finish our race. And we will get through this valley, and he will watch over us. He will not leave us. Behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, the Great Commission goes on to say. So this is a lovely picture for us, even of our commission as the church. Now, it's interesting, these two implements don't have a long reach. In other words, to live under their influence means to have a lifestyle of staying close. You know, if you're far over there, the rod and the staff are not effective at that distance. So they remind us as a people that we are to stay close. Sometimes we will not see the shepherd, but with our lives, with everything that within us, we have this thing that I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's how the psalm ends. I have a lifestyle of staying close. It's my lifestyle. I live there. I live in this house. I make it my daily practice to know his presence and to spend my days seeking his presence. And some days it might feel like he's not home, but I dwell in his house and I trust him there. And in that place, I know that his rod and his staff will reach me. And if I'm going to the right or to the left, he will draw me back. There will be a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. So are you living in a practical way close to the shepherd? Are you submitted under his authority? Is it something that is practical in your life, that you live under the authority of the Lord? Are you living under his authority structures that he's put over our lives? Because they are part of his rod. And we might not like that. But God has got authority structures in marriage, in families, in churches, that are part of the expression of his rod of authority. That's just how he works. And so they are not the final rod, whatever he is. But at the same time, he puts authority in families. He puts authority even in government. He puts authority in churches. And we are to stay close. In other words, stay under that with our lives. To be practical under that. And so when you read terms like submit to your leaders who are over you in the Lord, it's not an over you in the Lord as in an abusive way that was intended, but because the rod of the shepherd is over and he protects us. So we stay close there. And when we go through the valley, we live our lives under authority. We structure our marriage relationship, husband and wife, according to the authority structures of marriage. Not because one is more valuable than the other, but because of the authority structures of the shepherd. And he lovingly holds his rod over us. Not abusively. Never. Never ever. The staff, just as the rod represents authority, the staff, I believe, represents practical obedience to his word. And there's his scripture that will prod us and push us as the Spirit reveals. And so we need to stay close to that. If I can put it in another way, Dudley Daniel, I think many of you know who he is, who started New Covenant Ministries, he shared with us that he has certain life verses, verses that are particularly close and practical on a daily basis. He holds them near. And one of his scriptures comes out of the book of Acts, and it says, in the past, God overlooked things, but now he's calling us to repent. And he says that verse is something that taught him that whenever something through the scriptures or by revelation or through a preach or something that happens speaks to him, he immediately repents. So I didn't know that was, I was doing something that wasn't right, but now I understand. So immediate repentance. To me, that reminds me of the shepherd that as he senses the touch of the rod, of the staff, immediately he adjusts. Immediately, as he senses the pull, there's this quick adjustment. Makes me think of the teaching of living by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. There's this quick response. Because in the valley, there's a narrow path. There's dangers that you cannot see. And so his staff comforts me to develop a lifestyle of quick obedience, of quick response. Because we're in a valley of shadows. And only the shepherd knows this path. He's walked it before. So quickly we respond. So develop a lifestyle that's submissive to authority. That's godly authority. Develop a lifestyle that's quick to practically obey. And I end with this. The word through. It's something that we need to realize, I believe, speaks to fulfilling our destiny. We're not on this earth to be comfortable. We're not on this earth for the sake of being happy sheep. I can put it like that. It's not our highest calling is to kind of be happy sheep. Our calling is to walk this road that we can get to the end of it and know that we have finished our course. We have walked our road and we've finished it and we've done the work that He's called us to do. Now that is what I believe the word through refers to. Not referring to, you know, you'll get through the hard times and then you'll have the good times. So just stick it out, things are going to get better. Because I don't think that we can always guarantee that. We ought to hope that and we should pray for that. We pray for better times. But I listened to Mlee sharing about being a pastor in Zimbabwe. He's been preaching to his congregation for years and he shared with us. And he said, what do you preach to a congregation that's been hoping for better days for 20 years? And when I listened to that, I realized we must be careful how we preach. And just preach, say, you get through the valley and everything will be great. Now, actually, we need to preach something that God will watch over us, that we can go through our valleys. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy times ahead. But it will mean that we will fulfill our purpose. We will get to the end and we will be able to say, I have run the race. I have finished the course. I have won the prize to which Christ has called me, that we can finish our race. And obviously we pray for better days. We pray for peace. We pray for these things and we can trust God and He will give us things to pray for and all of that. So I'm not being a prophet of doom here, but I'm saying we need to have a theology that goes deeper than that to say He will get me through this valley, which means I will get to the finish line of these purposes and destiny for my life, no matter what. The devil will not succeed in that. And so, I thought to end by just creating an opportunity for just some alignment in our lives in response to the word of Psalm 23. This well-known psalm, but let's just maybe give a few minutes and then I'll pray. But I'm trusting that as I've shared this morning and this evening, the ministry of His Word brings alignment. Maybe it's prodded, like His staff has prodded you today. And you've sensed a push forward or a pull back or a left or a right push or whatever. But just to respond even tonight, so I'm just going to ask, won't you just close your eyes? And just contemplate any particular things the shepherd has spoken to you today. And where he maybe has prodded you, or pulled or pushed in a certain direction. And just to respond to him by expressing, Lord, I hear you. Lord, I respond. Lord, I repent. And then I'll pray for us in a minute. Father, as your people, we just want to say thank you so much for your loving shepherd's heart towards us, God. We pray together as we lift our lives to you and we say, oh God, thank you that you are a shepherd-hearted God. And tonight we once again align ourselves with David as we say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You will make me lie down in green pastures. You will lead me beside still waters. You will restore my soul. You lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And most certainly, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in your house forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We come under your word. And we set our hearts at rest in your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Bless you. Thank you so much.